Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Menachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKedesh, is daf tzadik Dalet. Wow, but we've gone far ahead. We got all the way up to the beginning of the next perek, so we're sort of towards the bottom already. And let us begin. Perek Shtei Halecha. So now we're moving on to be dealing with the actual way that we bake the various breads. So we have to deal with the Shtei Halecha and Halecha Mapanim. How are they baked? How are they actually given their Kedusha? So the Shtei Halecha, they have to be kneaded. We learned this out, as we'll see in the Gemara. Niloshot achat achat v'ne'efot achat achat. You have to bake, knead each one separately, and bake each one separately. The lechem haponim, they are niloshot achad achad, but they're baked shtayim bishtayim. So you bake them two by two. And the question is, exactly, is this like more of a logistic issue? So, I mean, there is, it's hard to say that the reason that we have to do it this way, to do one by one in terms of the kneading, is to make sure that we have an absolute measure of the Yisaron, because the Torah was marketed on one Yisaron. So maybe that's the Shtei Halecha. The Shtei Halecha is one Yisaron apiece. So if we do it by dough, we're not going to get it as exact as the measurement of the Yisaron, maybe. Okay. It could be that it's Tam, as we'll see, that it's the way that we understand in as Gzirat HaKatuv, or Halacha. Lechem HaPonim are baked two by two, but they're also kneaded one by one. Now, when you're talking about the Lechem HaPonim, you get a problem, because the Lechem HaPonim cannot actually survive just on their own. They're baked in a very odd shape. We'll see it's Machlokas, what the shape is. But that shape needs to be supported. It certainly needs to be supported during the baking process, and even afterwards, as if there's going to be any type of weight, and there's a problem because the lechem is put one on top of the other, there's no way that they're going to be able to hold up. And that's part of the reason that the Shulchan was made in the complex way that it was made, all of which we'll talk about when we read the Gemara. So anyway, how do we know this? This is an unusual halacha that we have to do each one on its own. The Tana Rabbana, Megabe Lechem Aponim, the Pasuk says, Shnei Ezronim Yiyeh Hachala Achat. Now, why does it have to say Achat? All you have to say is, Shnei Ezronim Yiyeh Hachala. Hachala means Hachala Achat. Ela is to teach us, the Melamed Shniloshot Achat Achat, that they actually have to be made into a Chala on their own. Achat Achat. So each one has to be the two Ezronot. Of course, you're not like the Shtei Halecha, which is one, but each one has to be baked on its own. How do we know that the Shtei Halecha has the same din and it's also Niloshot Achat Achat? Talmud Lomar Yihyeh. So what's that Yihyeh Hachala Achat? All you need to say is Shnei Ezronim Hachala Achat. Or really, Shnei Ezronim Hachala. All right, we've accounted for the Achat. But the Yihyeh for sure makes no sense. You're telling me what the size is. If you're adding Yihyeh, you're telling me something else needs to be that measurement. What is that other thing? That would be the Shtei Halechem. So this refers to the, not the Afiyah, but the dough, the mixing of the dough. But how do we know that even when you bake it, it has to be separate, but when it comes to the baking, here we're talking about the Lechem HaPanim, that the Lechem HaPanim has to be done not achat achat, but shtayim shtayim. Talmud Lomar, visamta otam. So why does it say visamta otam together, putting them into the oven? So apparently there is a minimum of two that you put, which is not, I say minimum two, but it isn't really absolutely clear from the Gemara what we're talking about over here. I mean, there is a shita that holds among the Rishonim that it means it's Parshat Gzeiros HaKasuv, that it needs to be two, no more, no less. Could be that the Isser, the way others understand it, some of the Achronim, is that it means that you shouldn't do more than two, but you're certainly allowed to do one because that's even more specific. Others learn, again, these are among Achronim, like the Mechas Chinuch and so on, learn that maybe it means that you have to have at least two. So it's not really very clear what this is. The only marker that we have in the Rishonim that I know of is the Rash, and the Rash says that it means exactly what it says, two. And it's Xerzakas, it's got to be two, based on the Pasuk of Otam. But I don't understand, didn't you just use the word Otam for a minute to tell me that you have to, Yochalav Shtei Lechem, Talmud Lomer Otam, Dafka them meaning only the Lechem Aponim and not the Shtei Lechem. But as the Gemara, the Otam was the basis of the Yikr Din, that you need to have two at a time for the Lechem Aponim. How can you use it to tell me, and only the Lechem Aponim and nothing else? I mean, there's nothing extra over here to make it into a miut. So, hi Otam HaAfikte. Yeah, but if it was only coming to tell me to bring the Shtei Lechem, remember we have this klal, and I've pointed this out many times. There are two ways in which we can make the connection from a verb to its object in Lashon HaKodesh. One of them separates the verb from the object, and one of them integrates the word with the object, right? So we could have written, if we weren't coming to make them separate, we would have said visamtam, put them all in one word. If you say visamta otam, you've got two separate limudim over there. First of all, obviously, it's speaking in the plural, so there's got to be two. But furthermore, it's got to be otam dafka them, and not what you might have thought that you would also compare to them, namely the Shtei HaLechem. It's only the Lechem Aponim that have this requirement. So Shema Amina Tarte, because otherwise, Vaimakra Visamtam, Mai Visamta Otam, Shemat Mina Tarte. We've seen this diuk many, many times in the Gemara, that a separation into two words actually means to separate out the object and to make it specific. A beautiful diuk in Lashon HaKodesh. Tana Rabbana. Now, how exactly did we make this Lechem Aponim? Because, as we'll see, it's very difficult to bake bread in the shape that the Lechem Aponim are, which is a machlokas, but either way, it's very difficult. So, therefore, we learn in the Braita that Vesamta Otam does not mean stam, to put them into the oven, because then it doesn't require sima. Here's another beautiful diak. It's so wonderful. Remember, we've spoken about how the whole chokhmah that's involved in kachim is so deeply the chokhmah of Adam Rishon was gedolah mishalachem. This bechokhmah, just like by Bezalel, it was a question of the osios and the understanding of the way that words fit together with the letters. This is another beautiful diak. There's a tremendous difference between sima and nitina. Nitina is to put, and sima is to place. And there's a big difference between putting and placing. So if I'm placing something, it means I'm placing it carefully into something. If I'm putting something, I'm just putting it there. So you're saying put it in the oven. You're never going to say set it in the oven. But if you're saying set it, then the visamta means that there is a shape in that oven. And the oven is built in such a way that it's a tfus, so that it's an actual shape. Tfus is the word that we use for print for the same reason. It's a mold, a letter in that shape. And that's the same idea over here. I forgot to turn on that other recording. So the visamta, otam, means put them into a supportive mold built into the oven structure. Now, there are actually three different structures like this for the Lechem Aponim, and they have to be used for the three different stages. Because first, you have to form the Lechem Aponim on a tfus while it's dough, because there's no possible way of getting the dough to be standing in the shape of the Lechem Aponim, and then to be able to bake it in that shape. So first, you build the dough into that shape, which is a mold, and then when you take it out, you place it into a similarly shaped mold in the oven itself. Ukemintvus, as it says, kemintvus ayala batanur, mashma, it's not a separate kli. It's the way that the tanur itself is shaped for the Lechem Aponim, So it's the equivalent of having an external tvus. And then when you take it out of the oven, that's when you put it into the tvus that was made out of gold, and you put it in there, kadesha lo titkalkel, and that way it will be supported in the beautiful shape that it's going to be sitting in. And this was the ka'ara that the Torah itself refers to, which of course is zahav tahor. Now, the truth is that the Rambam says all of the tefusim are called ka'arot. All of them are made out of zahav. So, l'maisa, that would be really strange, because it would mean that even though normally we say after a chasam on Menim Shal Yisrael, the Rambam is learning that we would actually bake in gold. No, it's okay. Nobody else learns like that, as far as I know. But everybody is made that, of course, Karatav of the Shulchan is the last Kara, that for sure was made out of gold. I want to remind you guys that you should make yourselves an appointment with the barber for this Erev Shabbos, because there is, it's not only mutter to take a haircut in the middle of the Sfira when Rosh Chodesh falls out on the Shabbos, then Erev Shabbos, which is also Rosh Chodesh, invariably, in this month, if it's a covered both for Shabbos and for Rosh Chodesh, so the Mishnah Berurah paskins, to take a haircut. Now, this is a great opportunity to look like a mensch, lekavod Shabbos, and lekavod Rosh Chodesh during Sfiras HaOmer. So, pass it on. You don't want to be kicking yourself during the rest of Sfira, you know? So anybody, anyone who missed this announcement, what?
To do it on Thursday or Friday?
Friday.
Okay.
Erev Shabbos, even though it's Rosh Chodesh, even if your minig is not to take haircut on Rosh Chodesh. Okay. Anyway, moving on. So that's a little bit of halakha l'maisa. So why would we have to, now this is sort of a riot to the Rambam, right? Because the Gemara says, why would we have to put it into another tefus? Why couldn't we put it back into the same tefus as it was originally? Which doesn't make any sense if you hold that you're mechuyev to put it into the ka'ara that's made out of zahav. So obviously, what's the point of putting it into the simple pan that you put made it in l'chatchila? So you see that the Rambam has a marker here. What else is there? Even a havamina? How could I put it back into the first one? Well, that's obvious. It's no longer going to fit, is it? I mean, kiven de afila, the first one, remember, was for the dough. And once it is baked, it expands. So it's nafcha, and therefore, it's going to require this ka'ara that's put on the shulchan. Now let's talk about what these molds actually look like, because that's a machlokas. How exactly did the lechem haponim look? So, lechem haponim, what exactly is the shape, is what it means. It's ketzad osimoto. In what shape did we make it? So Rabbi Hanina says that it was made like a teva prutza. Then this is their pshat that Rashi brings in Chumash, and it's the easiest way to envision a lechem haponim and how they fit on the shulchan. And we'll see, it's very awkward to fit in Rabbi Yochanan's shape. It takes an entirely different understanding of the way that the shulchan was made, actually. So Rabbi Hanina says it was like an open box, a teva prutza. So take a box, and what you do is you take off two of the sides and the top, and you're left with the two sides facing each other, sticking up in the middle of nowhere. And obviously, it's going to be very difficult to bake bread in that shape unless it's supported. Rabbi Yochanan, that's the punim. So you've got the two sides open to the outside, and then you've got the two parts facing each other. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, it actually was kemin svina rokedet. It was like a ship that is made to flow. So it's a dancing ship, which means it's a highly streamlined ship. So if it's a streamlined ship, then it's obviously going to be shaped like it'll come to a point on either end. So like a streamlined ship. And that means that it does not have a flat bottom. If it doesn't have a flat bottom, it can't even sit on the shulchan. So now we're going to try to figure out, okay, so how exactly did we make the shulchan according to both of these approaches. So Bishlama Lamanti Yomar Kamin Teva Prutza. And if you take the simple approach, Rebbe Chanina's approach, so then, okay, it makes sense that if we said, remember, we're going to have this in Machlokas before, we spoke about it earlier, where exactly are the Bezichei Levenas? We have a Machlokas, according to Lamanti Yomar, the Bezichei Levena are actually put on top of the Lechem. They're not put on the Shulchan. They're put on the top of the six Lechamim on either side, has its own Bezich Levona. So that makes sense. If it's flat, I got a place for it, and therefore I put it right there. So I ended up a Yatvi Bezichin. The Bezichin sit on the flat bottom of the Lechem. But if you hold that it's a Sfina Roketet, there was no flat bottom. So where exactly could you possibly put the Bezich Levona on a ship that didn't have any flat place on it? According to Aman Yoma, where were the Bezichim? Well, obviously, you would have to shape out in the dough a flat area that the Bezich could sit in. But it was specifically made for that purpose. So, Mokom Avidluhu. Okay, I got another problem. I mean, Bishlam Lamad Yomak Min Teva Prutza. So, Hainad Avayasve Kanim. So, remember that the Shulchan came along with Kanim. So, these Kanim were rods that were, as Rashi says, like straws that had been split through. And therefore, air would circulate in the space of the split straw, which allowed the aeration of the lechem, and that way there wouldn't be a place where it would actually start getting moldy and be exposed to the moisture the whole time. So we needed to have it properly aerated, but on the other hand, we needed to have support for the lechem. So there were two issues here. Now, the lechem, we need to also to remember that the lechem was not only self-supported. The lechem was supported also by the sides, the snifim of the shulchan that came up on either side. And these kanim were inserted into a shelf on the snifim that would support, along with the lechem, they would support the kanim. So these kanim were soft, they could easily bend, and therefore they needed to sit on the lechem with the aerated space facing down on the lechem, and the flat part of those spaces would be standing on the shelves on either side, and that way on the ends they would be supported by the metallic, the gold snifim, and in the middle they would rest on the lechem itself. So that makes sense if the lechem is shaped like a teva prutza. So then it's got this long piece, which is the part that is sticking up, and it's flat on top, and these are placed on the width of the shulchan, the length of the lechem to the width of the shulchan, and on top of them come these sitting flat, come these half straws. So that makes perfectly good sense. But if you have them coming to a point, where in the world would you put these straws? I mean, you can't support the old straw is going to be supported on the tip. How exactly would the straw not, like, really crush into the lechem? It's got to be supported over an area. So where would you put them? So Bishlam Laman Diomek Min Teva Prutza. So if you go, according to Rabbi Chanina, it's very nice. Hainu Dava Yatve Kanim fits perfectly. The straws simply sit on those wide edges on either side, and they're spaced evenly on either side of the pieces of the bread that stick up, right? Perfect. So Hainu Dava Yatve Kanim. But according to the Mandiyama that says it was a Sfina Roketet, so at the end of the lechem was just like a point. So where were the kanim exactly? So kanim echi havi yatve. Where would we put the kanim according to that approach? Well, you're right. We'd have to actually make a mursha. We'd have to take a piece of dough and stick it on those edges so that the edges jut out, and that provides a place for the kanim. Getting very awkward. Okay, and another problem that we have with Rabbi Yochanan is if you hold like Rabbi Chanina, it's a bishlam levandi omar kemin teva prutza. That explains how the snifim actually support the lechem. So the samchele snifim le lechem, because the snifim are straight along the side, and they come right up against the edge of the lechem, which is flat and sticking up vertically. But if you've got something shaped like a ship, how in the world does it support that shape of a ship? It only is going to touch the ship at like one point where it's up against the side. So what's the snifim doing as a support? It's not a support at all. It simply doesn't fit. Well, that's because you're taking the classical picture of the Shulchan as the correct picture, but that's not the right picture. Actually, the way that the snifim were shaped was as a half circle, so that you had one half circle and then another half circle above it, and they were shaped to fit these little ships. But Enochinami, they weren't flat the way you're used to thinking about it. So that would be Ogele Miagel. They would be shaped like that in a sort of rounded, and that way they would go underneath the ship and they would hold that ship in place. Okay, now let's take a look at the advantages, actually, in Rabbi Yochanan's view, because Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that it's Kmin Svina Roketet, so Bishlam Alaman Diomer Kmin Svina Roketet, he's got an advantage, because Hainer to be Inan Snifim. It explains why these Snifim are so important, because, I mean, obviously, it's got to have a support in order to maintain that shape. But according to the Man Diomer, who says it was just Kmin Teva Prutza, so what would be the reason for needing this whole fancy thing on the side if it's actually able to simply sit directly on the table and it's got a straight side? So what is the need for the snifim over there? So snifim lomeli. Well, you're right, if there was only one lechem level, but there are six lechemim on each side, one on top of the other. I mean, obviously, it's not going to be able to hold any kind of weight. It might be able to support itself. You start putting a lechem on top of a lechem, of course it's going to need something to prevent it from bending outward. And therefore, the snifim would be even important if it was shaped like a teva prutza. Because agav yukra de lechem talach, if it would be so heavy that it's already on the bottom of a six-layer lechem, it's certainly going to break the walls without a support. Okay, there's another advantage to Rabbi Yochanan, and that is because Bishlam Alaman Diomek Min Svina Roketet, if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, so then it makes sense how the Shulchan was made. The Snifim would simply be put on top of the Shulchan, because remember, the Svina Roketet didn't take up space on the top of the Shulchan itself, except for that little bottom of the keel of the boat, so to speak, right? But that would mean that the snifim themselves were sitting on the Shulchan, and then the lechem would be sitting on top of the snifim. So that's great. But if you hold according to Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Hanina, I mean, that it's Kmin Teva Prutza, where in the world did you put the snifim? The bread itself took up the entire surface of the table. So where did you put these snifim? Snifim echan manachlu, ahara manachlu. Did you put the snifim on the floor? And of course the answer is absolutely. Like all the pictures show, the snifim, according to the Man Diomer, that the way Rashi and all the books that are based on Rashi show it, is that the snifim sit on the floor, they come up the entire edge of the Shulchan, and then after the layer of the first lechem, they start having those shelves, and then you put the kanim on the shelves, and that's exactly the way that it was made. The Omer of Abba Bar Mamo, indeed, l'divrei ha'omer, kimin svina roketet, the snifim needed to be on the Shulchan, it could be on the Shulchan itself, and they were, but l'divrei ha'omer kimin teva prutza, we have no choice but to say that the snifim agabe karka munachim. Interesting relationship between the svina and the snif.
And the svina on the earth. Rabbi, the nature of these things is that when we were in Shir, people would show Rebbe different pictures, and Rebbe would say, this one's right, this one got it wrong. And what I would like to suggest is that everybody send in, like somebody already did, their pictures, and that over the course they read, they will say, this one is accurate, this one is not accurate, or the accurate one.
Send in where?
To the WhatsApp, I guess. Right?
Okay. Sure.
Okay, everybody, please send in whatever pictures you have of the Shulchan, the different Shatim, and we'll get it back.
I mean, the one to show us the Svina is Richie, no?
Absolutely. He can tell if it's ship shape.
Hmm. Yeah, this is a nice picture here. Akiva Lesh threw in. Very nice. Looks more like an avocado than a ship, but I guess.
That's what I said.
Okay, great. Come on, Ozla, Hadi Yom Rav Yehuda. Let's take a look at what Rav Yehuda taught and see who it's going according to. He said that Halechem ma'amid et asnifim, v'asnifim ma'amidim et Halechem, that the Lechem and the Snifim support each other. Well, that's true. Command Yomer Kamin Svina Roketet. If it's going to Rabbi Yochanan, then it's true that the Lechem holds those support things that are a soft gold round shape, and that puts them actually into the shape, but the fact that you have the gold underneath keeps the Lechem itself from underneath. So the two of them force the shape into shape. So we could go a little bit further. I mean, okay. Meisve. Well, maybe we should start. No, let's go at least to the Masa'ot issue. Meisve. Kimin kaveret hayala batanur. So it says that there was like the mold, it's calling it like a basket over your kaveret as a basket. And how was it shaped? It was shaped, kimin tabla merubat. Now that word, tabla merubat, square, means that it was like a box, which goes against Rabbi Yochanan. This is completely the same as what Rabbi Hanina said. Ema upia doma kimin tabla merubat. It doesn't mean that it was like square all around. It just means that it had a top in which you could actually put things into. But it might be that maybe in the bottom it was actually a ship. I don't know. Tanya kamad yomer kamin svina roketet. But we do have an interesting braita that says it was more like a ship. Tanya arba'a snifim shel zahav ayusham mefutzalim roshehem kimin dakranim shesomchim bahem et alechem shehu domeh kimin svina roketet. So that there were actually on the Shulchan, they had the place of these shelves, which is going over here like more dakranim. They had parts coming out that looked like little reeds, and that's where you put the kanim, and that would support the lechem. And these were the reeds that were open and split into two. And by the way, I mean, that's a throwaway line. And by the way, how was the lechem shaped? It was shaped kamin svina roketet. It's mamish amandi omar that says, like beferish in a brighter, like Rabbi Yochanan. Now, as I said, the accepted approach because of Rashi and the Rambam is like Rabbi Hanina. And the truth is, the only amandi omar that we have a riot to from the brighter is actually Rabbi Yochanan. So it's, I don't know, it's strange that we paskin that way. There is a shita that it's all logistics, meaning that they weren't arguing about whether there was a halacha, that it had to be a particular way. The question was whether this is the way they did it. So it could be an aesthetic issue or a logistic issue. And the question is that since it adds up to be so much more simple to be the way the Teva Perutza is, otherwise we got all of these complicated things that we have to do, stick on pieces on the end to support it, make it shaped specifically to be able to support, in which the two support each other. It's a much more delicate kind of thing. So the Chazon Ish says, maybe it's not a specific halacha that it has to be like this. It was a question of what was done. So the Melech, you're paskin in halacha, so you may go and paskin halacha to do it in the way that the sugya most supports. So if you ignore the Braita, the question of the logistics throughout the sugya was almost entirely in favor of the Teva Perutza approach, right? So maybe that's why the Rambam holds that the preponderance of evidence in terms of the logistics is that it should be Kateva Perutza. Otherwise, it's difficult to understand why would we ignore a Braita just for Shitas of Amoraim? Not at all clear.